All right, Shabbos, say good morning, good morning. Let us begin. We are going to. So we are effectively one day behind. So Meretz Hashem, today hopefully we'll catch up a little bit to Meretz Hashem. All right, Yontiv, I guess we'll figure out what's going to be on Yontiv. But we'll go from there. All right, Shabbos, so let's pick up. So Ve'im Omar Yomar. The person will say as follows. Ve'im Yomar Ha'omer. A person will say, "Hinei anachnu roim miktsas tzadikim lo yizdamin lohem tarfam." So remember again, in what we ended off yesterday was the last piece was this idea that if a person let's follow the construct. On one hand, you talk about bitachon, right, and the need for bitachon, the criteria for bitachon. And we also spoke about the idea that there, even though a person has to have bitachon, there also has to be hishtadlus, human effort. We spoke about two reasons why human effort is necessary. What we ended off with yesterday was, but, what's the but? But there are some people who are so righteous and so holy that they don't need hishtadlus. In other words, the reasons which apply for hishtadlus, to see if a person is going to be committed to the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or second reason, to go ahead and make sure that a person effectively stays out of trouble. Because there are some people who are on such a lofty and spiritual level that they don't need these reasons for hishtadlus. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides their parnasa even without the hishtadlus. Okay, so now we pick up. Vim Amar Yomar, Yomar HaOmar, a person might say, Hinei anachnu roim miktsas tzadikim lo yizdamin lehem tarfam, ela acharei amal v'hayegia, v'rabim me'anshei averos b'shavo v'chayeim b'tov b'ne'imim. So now says the Mechaber, but people will ask the million-dollar question, and what's the million-dollar question? But there seem to be in life many righteous people who struggle, who in fact have to put in all of the hishtadlos, have to put in all of the effort, right? Only to, and then maybe sometimes they go out and they find parnasa. And conversely, there are some very wicked people who seem to stumble across parnasa, right? Seem to stumble across their needs with very little effort, and yet they enjoy incredible success. So I will say, this in general, whenever we learn hashkafa, right? Because remember again, so Shara Bitachon, so what one can make the argument that Mesilas Yesharim was Musar. Shara Bitachon is hashkafa. It's hashkafa. The challenge always with hashkafa is you learn it in the abstract and then you try to apply it to life. And sometimes it's hard to see how real life reconciles with some of the abstract concepts. So here the Mechaber is going ahead and highlighting this collision. On one hand, we created a theoretical construct. And now the problem is that the theoretical construct was that a person could be so righteous and so pious and so lofty and so pure that they get their parnasa, they get everything they need without effort. The problem is, when you apply that to the real world, we find many righteous people who struggle immensely, don't find their need, and yet conversely, many wicked people who Baruch Hashem, although leading a life which is in conflict with the will of God, yet Baruch Hashem seemed to enjoy a very good material life. How do you reconcile that? He says, "Nomar ki kvar kadmo anavim v'chasidim lach krala izayin." So first of all, the Mechaber says, just know, you might think that this is a great question, and it is a great question, but it's not your question. Already the prophets of yesteryear already asked this particular question. He says, like the Navi in Yirmiyah says, why do the wicked succeed? Why do the wicked succeed? So we'll say this was just a litany of psukim, all attesting to the same theological dilemma, which is why is it that the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? Okay, all different neviim, just phrasing this in different ways. See, now we'll say, great. So here's what we know. The question is a good question. It's not a new question. By the way, it's interesting. He doesn't quote. The earliest recorded source of this question is actually Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of Chumash Shmos. Right? At the end of Parsha Shmos, where remember Moshe comes to Paro to deliver the message of redemption. Moshe is all excited, right? He's coming, he's the emissary of God, ambassador of God. And remember, he gives this message of redemption to Paro. And what does Paro say? Paro essentially says, Tichpat Avoda, you have time to dream about freedom. That means you have more time to work. Let the work intensify. That's when he takes away the straw from the people. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Lama hari osa la'am hazeh? Why have you dealt so terribly with this people? And the commentaries essentially say that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, Tzadik v'ralo, why do bad things happen to good people? In other words, why are you punishing these people so they didn't do anything? So why are you doing this to them? So it's interesting. Okay, he doesn't quote that. He quotes from the Nevi'im, who say a bit more explicitly. Good. So Moses says, the question is a good question. What's the answer? So watch this. He says, here's only one problem. The prophets ask the question, what don't they do? He says, Zulas Ilas Ha'acher. Now we'll say, this is absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating what he answers over here. He says, why don't the prophets answer it? So we'll say, so again, in general, we all know the question. And generally we say, why is there no answer to the question? Or I should say, why isn't an answer proffered? Right? I'm sorry? Because by definition, we just assume we don't understand. That's not what he says. Look what he says. He gives it, it is what he says, but he gives such a different lens. He says, because there's not one answer. See, I will say, the question itself, the way the question is posed, is that it presupposes there's a group called tzaddikim, there's a group called rishayim. And yet in life, we see tzaddikim suffer. So the way the question is posed is, so tell me why the righteous suffer. So the Mechaber says, the question is flawed because you're grouping, right? You're putting a group of people together as if to say, just because the question is the same, the answer is the same. And he says, it's not true. And the same thing, by the way, for the wicked. Why do the wicked prosper? As if to say, all wicked people are in the same boat. Right? There's the wicked chevra. Right? They should get jackets, right? They're the wicked chevra. So we ask, like, but you're wicked. So why do the, as if to say, there's just one answer for this entire chevra. And we'll say, I've never thought about it this way. In other words, we've all thought about the question. And like Greg said, we all know the answer. We don't know how Hashem runs the world. But there's this nuanced piece in the answer of it. There's no group of human beings to which divine judgment applies in the same way. Every single person is a world unto themselves. And as such, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu structures their life is going to be fundamental. Look what he writes over here. He says, so the Navi doesn't answer this. Why not? Because we'll say the reasons which apply to each of the righteous, v'chol echam min harishayim shein b'tova ba'olam hazeh, zulas ilas ha'acher. The same reason every single tzaddik suffers is different. And the same reason why every wicked person who prospers is going to be different. L'chein, Shem will say, that's why the Navi can't give an answer. It's not being, I will say, there is an answer, by the way. And in fact, it's actually pretty incredible. The Mechaber is going to advance a number of suggestions as to why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. He's going to actually suggest some answers. But the reason why the Navi just can't go ahead and give an answer to all of this is because there's not one answer. It's so profound. Therefore, what the Torah does give an answer, right? What's the answer? Right. So what's the answer? The answer is there are hidden things that are within the purview of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and revealed things that are within our purview. And therefore, ultimately, again, the Chacham said, as well, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Im Oshek Rash VeGezal Mishpat Tzedek Tira BeMedina Al Titma Al Achevis." Or Akasov Hatzur Tamim Paolo Ki Kol Drachav Mishpat. Shabbos say the Torah does give an answer. What's the answer the Torah gives? It's the non-answer answer, right? The answer is there's a plan to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, right? But that plan is obscured from us, right? That plan is obscured from us. Ultimately, again, there are certain things that are hidden, only revealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the rock who is perfect, for all of his ways are justice. So there is an answer. There is an answer. But Lamais, again, the answer is often beyond our purview. We'll say, let's go a little bit weiter. Ve'im kol zeh, ra'isi leva'er ba'inyan hazeh. So we'll say, this is incredible. And this really, really gets very exciting. I have to figure out what we're going to do about this over Yontif. Okay. Whatever. All right. So we'll say, so fine. So listen to this. So the answer is very exciting. Right? What's the answer? See, he says, I want to explain about this a little bit. So I will say, so right, so he says, Mashiya bo ma'at haspak of Omer, ki aponim asher ba'avurim yumana me'atzadik is danlus tarfo ad shichrach alavi yibachin bo. So I will say, so first of all, over here he says as follows. He says, don't think that there aren't reasons associated with this. There are reasons. In other words, so I will say, here's sometimes, let me just take a step back here for just a second. I will say, when bad things happen, is there a reason why bad things happen? Is there a reason? Of course. So I would say, the whole chap in this world is, there's nothing that is random. The challenge is trying to go ahead and understand why bad things happen. And I will say, it's a double challenge, right? Challenge number one is trying to understand something. Challenge number two is understanding that you yourself may never actually understand what the true reason is. So we kind of live in this tension in Yiddishkeit. So let's play this out. Let's say, again, Chas Hashem, something bad happens to me. And I will say, what's my avoda? What's my avoda? Like, what am I supposed to do with it? So the truth is, the Gemara says, something bad happens to you, you have fashvesh b'masov, introspection. Introspection. I will say, this also is very interesting dialectic, right? Because what happens? If let's say something happens, bad happens to your friend, right? What's the one thing you should never say to your friend? What'd you do, right? Right? You should really introspect, right? You should really assess for introspection. And I will say, we have biblical precedence for that because the truth is, that's what Eov's friends did to him. We're going to talk about that. Eov's friends, when he's suffering, say, Eov, whoa, what did you do to deserve this? Now I will say, were they wrong? So they're not wrong in that terrible events are an opportunity for introspection. But that's not what you say to someone else, right? Or is how do I relate to someone else's negative events? The truth is not my business. I'm there to support, right? I'm here to help you. I'm not there to judge. But when the person undergoes the events themselves, it's absolutely a springboard for introspection. What could it be? Could it be that something is misfiring in my life that is causing this event? At the same time, I also recognize that not every negative event or setback event is a result of sinful behavior. There are bad things that happen to good people. And so the Shaila becomes now, what do I do with those bad things? Right. So we have to stop here for today. All right, we have to stop here. Okay, like to the best parts over here. So this is, I should not tell you, coming attractions. So coming attractions is the Mechaber is going to advance a number of different ways to look at how when bad things happen to good people. What could possibly be the divine plan for why HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits misfortune upon even perfectly righteous, no one's perfectly righteous, but righteous people, Meretz Hashem, coming attractions tomorrow, Shkoyach.